First time seeing you all from this perspective. To bring all my equipment. Pastor Matt does not bring one of these. He's cool, calm, collected up here. I tend to run a little hot, so I have to. And I know you guys have questions this morning. I know you're wondering, like, what is Pastor Matt thinking? He's not here. What's going to happen this morning? About to find out. I think your biggest question probably is, are we a black church now? let me help you with that. 2 weeks ago, after Mega Sports Camp, the worship team led us in a particular song, and Adam said, now on this song, we're not hitting the upbeat, we're hitting the downbeat, the 2-4. I saw you. You were struggling trying to find that beat. So, no. We're not a black church yet. But all jokes aside, good morning, God bless you. Those who are watching online, God bless you. We have been, as you recognize, studying the book of Romans. Pastor Matt did a great job covering a big portion of Romans 5 last week. Today we're going to hit Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. If you've read it before, if you've seen it before, the word sin is used a lot. In this day and age, we don't like using the word sin too much. We like using things like, I made a mistake. Right? But in these verses, sin is not what you may think it is. Some preachers will walk you through it step by step, give you the punch, and then the next steps, and go along. I'm going to give you the punchline. I'm going to give you the next steps. You're going to get all of that as we go. As we read verses 1 through 6, we're going to see that sin is not even talking about actions of sin, like I lied, I cheated, I made my husband watch Hallmark last night. We're not talking about that kind of sin. It's all about the old nature, the sinful nature, the nature that we receive being born of the flesh, which is really the problem. You know, God is not like us. You will never catch God out at the end of May and June mowing dandelions. You mow dandelions Saturday morning, what do you got Sunday afternoon? What do you got? God goes to the root. Our Father works from the inside out. We as humans want to work from the outside in, and that just doesn't work. That just doesn't work. A couple of problems that are just so evident in the church, the big church, and with Christians. One, we sometimes have this view of salvation, regeneration, as it's just a legal thing that God has done. It's an outside thing. My membership papers changed from going to hell to going to church. God checked the box, I'm forgiven. And now we're all good. But my question this morning to you is, did something happen to you when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Don't mean some emotional response, not a physical response, but did God do something in you, put something in you that was not there before when you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? Are we actually born again? Is that a real, actual, literal thing, or is it just something we say? And because, am I too loud for you? I'm happy with this. If you get a little uncomfortable, that's okay. We all gotta get comfortable with being uncomfortable because growth only happens outside of your comfort zone. If you live in your comfort zone, you are living in a grave and you just don't know it. So we are going to be all right this morning because I love you and I'm not afraid of your faces. All right. Let me open the word here. As I was saying, because we don't really take what God has said to be the actual truth, we have a crisis of identity. We don't know who we are. We don't really know, you know, I'll hit this later. We don't know who we are. Identity, you know, we hear so much about identity these days that it's almost overdone. But identity, knowing who you are, knowing who you really are, is paramount in life, because identity determines activity and identity determines your destiny. So many voices want to tell you who you are. There's one voice. There's one voice. There's one voice. There is one voice who knows who we are because he made us. And he is always right. He is always right about you. God is always right about you. No matter how you feel, no matter what you did or didn't do or didn't accomplish, God is always right about you. So my friends that I've known for a long time are here today. Thank you for being here. They've heard this before from me. There's no crying in preaching. But sometimes there is some crying in preaching. There's no crying in baseball. No crying in mixed martial arts. And no crying in preaching. But every now and again, there is crying in preaching. But not right this minute. Identity. How we see God. How we believe that God sees us. Who God knows that we really are behind the veneer. Identity. How we see ourselves. Who we think we are. Our self-talk. It's the most important thing in life. As we get, wow, time is flying. Get ready to move into scriptures. The way we combat this, and you're going to see in Romans 6, over and over again, Paul writes the word know and knowing. He says, we have to know. We have to know. We have to know. We have to know. Not know like mental assent. But knowing to the point that we see. You ever had a moment where there's something you knew? You knew it as a fact, and something happened. Someone said something, all of a sudden you're like, oh, I see that now. An epiphany, illumination. Yes? He's saying we have to know. We have to know God's word as the truth. There are not many truths. There's no my truth. It might be your experience. It might be your opinion. It might be your worldview. There's only one truth. There's only one truth. His name is Jesus. Jesus prayed in John 17, Father God, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. He didn't say sanctify us through the facts, did he? Sometimes we know the word of God as a fact. We know it, mental assent, intellectually, as a fact, but we don't know it as the truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth, not the Spirit of fact. John 8, if you continue in my word, if you abide in my words, I'm giving you some of the steps now. If you abide in my words, you will be my disciples indeed, and you will know. You will not just know, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And once we begin to abide in his word and know the truth, our lives will change. We'll see God differently. We'll see God differently. We'll see ourselves differently. We'll recognize that we really aren't slaves to fear, slaves to sin. The door is open. The cage is open. The chains are broken. Why do you who are alive remain among the dead? I don't mean you. The tomb, the stone has been rolled away, yet we stay in the tomb. We won't come out. We won't come out. And God is saying, come out. You're alive in me. Come out. I place life in you. Come out. See what I have done. Know what I have done. Know that I love you. Know who I've made you to be, and come out. Come out. All right. I think Pastor Matt might be watching. He's saying, you've gone 7 minutes. I ain't getting rid of scripture yet, so let's get. Wait, is that him texting me now? No. Dude, get with it. All right. Let's read our text, Romans 6. So if you've got your Bibles, Romans 6, 1 through 7. And I'm going to read them up here. It says this. Listen to this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, we're going to have to back up Romans 5 just for a minute. I'll read the full text because when you see what shall we say then or therefore, we got to back up to see why it's there. But I'll keep reading. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us are baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death? It says, therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death. Pro tip here, we're not talking about water baptism. This verse is dry. But just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been united together with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because of what? For he who has died is freed from sin. That's outstanding. Now he starts off with this. He says, what shall we say then? Why would he start there? Romans chapter 5, Romans chapters 3 through 5, Paul is teaching us, the word is teaching us about justification. Romans 6, 7, 8 is about sanctification. Justification, what God has done with us, made us righteous, declared us righteous. Sanctification, now we walk it out. But apparently, as Paul was teaching chapter 5, there must have been a legalist who said to Paul, well, if God's grace is so good, if God takes pleasure in bestowing his grace upon us, forgiving our sins, shouldn't we sin more to let God forgive us more? Let me read you a couple of verses from chapter 5 here. Romans 5, verse 12. If you've got your Bibles or your phone apps, you may just want to follow along. We're not going to have every verse up on the screen there, but you may want to follow along. Listen to this. There's a therefore. But if we follow that therefore back in verse 12, Romans 5, we would keep following it back. Paul is basically talking about justification, how we're justified in Christ. He says this. Now listen to this. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, in this way death came to all people because all sinned. I don't need to camp here. Pastor Matt preached this last week. But basically he's saying, fact number one, that through Adam's rebellion, sin entered the world and its partner, the consummation of sin, death, entered the world through Adam. In these verses, in chapter 6 and in this verse, when you see the word sin as a noun, we're not talking about actions. We're talking about the unregenerate, depraved, satanic, Adamic nature that every human being born on earth inherited from Adam. He is not talking about actions. He's talking about the entity of sin that we're all born with. Are we following that? So he says, through Adam's rebellion, God told Adam, the minute you eat the fruit, you'll die. He didn't fall dead, but he did die spiritually. Death being separation. Physical death is separation from your physical body. Spiritual death is separation from God, separation from the life of God. So he's laying the foundation. Just laying the foundation. Sin entered the world through Adam. Then he says this. Verse 19, We're going to do verses 12, verses 19, and verses 21. He says, "For just as through the disobedience of one man, many were made sinners, also through the obedience of one man, many will be made righteous." I hope you're following along in your Bible, because I have a question for you. What makes a sinner a sinner? Because he sins, silly? No. What makes a sinner a sinner? It's not an outside-in thing. It's not an outside-in thing. What makes a sinner is that he was born of the flesh. He's in Adam. He or she is in Adam. What makes a sinner is that they are in Adam. We just read it. What makes the righteous righteous? Doing acts of righteousness? No, that's the outside-in thing. It's not how God works. What makes the righteous righteous is that they are in Christ. If you are in Adam, you're a sinner. If you are in Christ, you are righteous. That's called justification. God declared us righteous. Well, I don't feel righteous. You don't feel righteous? I'm telling Dad, I'm going to call God right now and I'm going to tell on you. You don't feel righteous. Me either. Do you think God would declare you to be righteous if you aren't? Here's the problem I was talking about earlier, this symbolic thing that we think. Now, I've been around a lot of Christians. I'm older than I look, been around a lot of Christians for a lot of years, and here's what I hear all the time. Either this: well, I'm born again, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, 1 Corinthians 5:21, because God sees me as righteous. It just hurts to hear that. Or, you're a Christian, yes, I'm saved, but I'm just a good old sinner saved by grace. Oops, I just kicked over Circuit Cal. Those who are in Adam are sinners. Those who are in Christ are righteous. Those who are in Adam are dead. Those who are in Christ are alive. Can we be dead and alive at the same time? Can we be light and darkness at the same time? It's about what God has done in us first and foremost. God works from the inside out, our innermost man. If God is looking at us through some righteous filter, some righteousness-colored glasses, okay, I see you through the blood. I see you through a righteousness filter. Since you're born again, and we check the boxes, now nothing happened in you, but we just check the boxes, and now when I look at you through the blood, I see you as righteous. That's bad doctrine. There is a judicial portion to it, but that is not what God sent Jesus Christ here for. And the real problem is, on God's side of the glasses, okay, but how about on this side of them? When, if nothing happened to you, you know you're dirty if you're not born again. And you know you're not measuring up. And you're trying and trying, and your prayers hit the ceiling or the roof or the ceiling. They don't go very high. And the word is just dry. And you're giving into the same old sin over and over again. And you've got no joy, you've got no life, you've got no strength, you've got no fire in God. You can't even raise your hands and hear for praise and worship, make it about him, not about you. That's a miserable life, miserable life. I just realized I gotta do this twice. I'm losing my voice, I better, ratchet back a little bit. I didn't think about that, better save some for next time, next service. You know what that leaves you with? That leaves you with fear. I'm no longer a slave to fear. That leaves you the slave. That view leaves you the slave to fear. It leaves you with guilt. It leaves you with shame. And worst of all, it leaves you with nothing but the opposite of righteousness. What is the opposite of righteousness? Self-righteousness. The opposite of true righteousness is self-righteousness. Then we make up our own dogmatic religious traditions to feel better about ourselves and to think we're pleasing God. And we're basically still in the tomb, in a rut, in a grave, lifeless. God does not just, he does not just see you as righteous. He sees you as righteous because he made you to be righteous. I know you're getting it. Are you hearing me? God does not just see us as righteous. He sees us as righteous because he made us to be righteous. It's all about being born again, baby. All about being born again. All about being born again. Would God's Spirit birth unrighteousness? I hear no. Anybody want to second that motion? How about you in the back? Does God's Spirit birth unrighteousness? Are you born of God? Are you born of God? Are you born of God? Well, guess what then? You're righteous. From the inside out, we're going to get to it. The new creation that God made us to be was created in true righteousness and in true holiness. Ephesians 4, 20, 21, 22. He says, having put off the old man, the old nature, that nature we received from Adam, having put on the new man, he says man, but if you're a lady, the new person, which is created after God, according to God, by God's design, in true righteousness and in true holiness. That is what you have to know. You got to know that. What if Joanne and I rolled up in here, our first service, and we rolled up in here like this, walking like this, our hands bound, not looking at anybody, calling you, sir, trying to get in the back door, begging to sit just outside so we could hear the service. And those of you who greeted us so kindly when we first showed up here, you'd be the first one to us. And you say, who are you? Well, I'm just an old slave freed by the proclamation. And you would kind of think, okay, bro, you got some problems. I love you. But what's your name? My name is No Count. But I'm just an old, can we just, you know, I'm just an old slave. And we meet people, I'm just an old slave, freed by the proclamation. And finally, somebody would want to help us, they tell us. Now, No Count, you are some count. And number one, either you're an old slave or you're freed by the proclamation. You can't be both. If I walk around my whole life like this, not looking up, there are so many things that I'm not going to do or attempt or try because I believe I can't, because I'm an old slave in my heart. It's going to determine my activity, which will determine my destiny. I'm just an old slave, freed by the proclamation. I'm just an old slave. You'd ask me, you'd tell me, you'd beg me, please understand, you are free. You are no, but master said, and but it doesn't matter what the old master said. You're no longer a slave to the old master. It does not matter what the old master said. You're not a slave to the old master anymore. I'm just an old slave. I'm just an old slave, freed by the proclamation. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I am just a sinner saved by grace. And those who love you are going to say, look here, my sister and brother, either you are a sinner or you're saved by grace. Either you are a sinner or you're saved by grace. Either you are a sinner or you are free and saved by grace. Which is it? And how do you want to live? One thing I've learned, if I've learned anything else in life, agree with God. If I have not learned anything else, what God says about me is what I say about me. What God says is what I believe. Romans chapter 6. We've been going, what, 3 minutes? Two? You sit down. You come up here and just sit by me and just you keep track of time. Lead into Romans 6. We can cover Romans 6 pretty quickly, and we are. If you put the verses back up there for Romans 6, chapter 1, and we're just going to go through this. A key principle, you know, I haven't figured out what to do with reading glasses when you preach. I just need them for this, but not for, and then with this is kind of awkward, but is it okay? My friends over here who know us from a long time, they know this one too. You'll see me look at Joanne often because every now and then she'll give me one of these. You got to watch closely. Just a little bitty. No, don't do it. She won't do. She'll just kind of give it a quick. So, don't go there. Told you I run a little hot. I know, I'm so sorry. This might not be suitable for live stream, but I guess too late. Man, I look out here and what do I see? I see righteousness. I see righteousness undiscovered. I see righteousness unrealized. I see righteousness unrealized. I see those who are already accepted by God who are fighting and striving for acceptance. You don't need to. It's already yours. Not only does our Father love us, He's in love with us. Think about it that way. He likes us. He delights in us. He loves us. He's in love with us, and that never changes. God is a good God. God will not tell us to do things that He has not already empowered us to do. So if God tells us to live righteously and live holy, guess what He's done? He's placed that righteousness and holiness in our inner man. And He wants us to abide in Him and abide in His truth so we can begin to live that righteousness out. Inside out, not outside in. And I feel people who just don't quite get it. They feel like if I do enough good works, God will accept me. Time is short. I won't go down that path. Chapter 1, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So somebody said, hey, since God loves to forgive us, since the end of Romans 5 says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Well, hey, then, I'm going to have a party. And he says, no. We're not talking about acts of sin. We're not talking about actions. What this really says is this. How shall we, who are born again, righteous people, continue to have the same relationship with our old sinful nature that we once had? He ain't mowing dandelions, he's going to the root, to the root problem. He said, no. How is it that you can have the same enslaved, cozy relationship with slavery that you once had when you've been made free? He says, God forbid. That's strong. And I mean, look at the real language, that is strong. We had, growing up in our neighborhood, we had we had phrases when people said, you know, not cussing. We had phrases when people said dumb stuff. They, you know, this was, I grew up in the 60s. Except I'm stupid. I say, Negro, please. You can laugh. Like, have you lost your mind? What is wrong with you? The Rainmaker. You must be stupid, stupid, stupid. Have you ever seen that movie? He's saying, the fact that you're asking this question tells us that you don't even understand what's happened to you. You don't even know who you are. You don't have an identity, the right identity of who you are. He's saying, you no longer have the same enslaved relationship to the sinful nature you once had. God forbid. Verse 2 says this, and we're going to make it on time here. He says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? We said earlier, death is not non-existence. Death is separation. So he's saying, how can we who have been separated from slavery, who have been separated from the old nature, the old man, how can we continue to have that same relationship? It's not symbolic. It's not figurative. It's not positional. It is actual. And he says this. Verse 3 says this. I hope you're following along. He says, or do you not, what's that word? Know that as many of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Again, another word, know. Know from your head to your toes, it's all about faith, a renewed mind of faith. Know. Do you not know that as many of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, these verses are just backing up what Paul was saying about us being righteous. Here, baptism here is not water baptism. Baptism here is this. There's so many verses in the Bible that talk about baptism. Baptized into Christ, baptized in the one body, baptized in the Spirit. The children of Israel baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. It's not water baptism. The working definition of baptism is this, right there. You can tell I'm not used to being up here, I'm sorry. It's right there. Read it. It says, the introduction of placing of a person or a thing into a new environment or into union with something else as to alter its condition or its relationship to its previous environment or condition. That's a lot, isn't it? Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us, he has translated us from the kingdom of darkness and slavery and sin into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He's taken us out of one relationship with the sin nature, out of Satan's kingdom. He's brought us into his kingdom. He's broken that old relationship. He's given us a new life and a new relationship with him. That's baptized. So it's saying again, you don't understand. How is it that we who've been baptized into Christ, baptized into his death. Baptized into his death. I will hit that in the next verse because we are running short on time here. Verse 5 says, therefore, we are buried with him through baptism to death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. And what he's saying here, who baptized into his death? Christ died for two reasons. Christ didn't just die to pay for our sins, our acts of sin. You knew that, right? That wouldn't be enough. Because that wasn't the root problem. Christ died to separate us, to bury the old man, the sinful nature. He paid for our acts of sin, and he died, and he paid, destroyed, buried that sinful nature that once enslaved us. That's good, but that's not enough. Because he had not risen again, we couldn't be born again. So he rose again that we might have newness of life. Not new on the out, we're doing new things. We should, we will, but this is saying newness of life is we now live our lives from a new life source. We now have a new man. We've now been born by the Spirit. John 3:6, it was up there earlier. And I'm giving, they're having a hard time because I'm not following the script exactly. They're doing a good job back there. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and spirit gives birth to spirit. He died that we might have new birth. Goes on to say in verse 5, for we've been united together in the likeness of his death, so that we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. And it's not if is not if. If is in view of the fact. United is a living vital union, and likeness really means identity. So he's saying, since we've been buried with him, since our old man died with him. Who gardens? Anybody garden? When you want to grow something, most of the time, what do? You got to plant something, right? What's that? That's what we're talking about. He says, we've been planted together with Christ. The book of Peter, 2 Peter, talks about the fact that we've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, the word of God that lives and abides forever. He's saying that the seed of Christ has been planted into us, and we're planted with him. Therefore, we shall grow in newness of life with him. He's saying those who are joined to the Lord are one spirit with him. That's who you are. Am I boring you? Everybody but her and him. Am I boring you? That was good. And verse 6 says this. Listen to verses 6 and 7. We're going to wrap it up here. It says this. Knowing this, that our old man, the old nature, who we were in Adam, was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, the old man, the old nature, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Which means that you are no longer a sinner. By no means are we saying that Christians don't sin. We've got to renew our minds. We've got to grow in righteousness. We've got to grow in sanctification. But it's saying you are no longer a slave to it. And just because you are hooked up with God and you're living and you're doing what you should and you mess up. I reacted to my wife the wrong way. Shoot. Now I'm back in Adam. No. He says this. For he who has died has been made free from the sinful nature. Since God buried our old man with Christ, and when Christ rose, Christ's resurrection made the way for new life for us. Therefore, we have been resurrected actually and literally. This is not figurative. And we're no longer slaves to sin. You're not a slave to sin. You're not unrighteous. So what do you do for next steps? Number one, we begin to abide in the word. Abide in the word. Take time. You know what? I don't even recognize myself from years ago. All I did was made myself available to God. Just make yourself available to God. Just start there. Just make yourself available to God. Recognize the human tendency that we want to work for it. We've got to earn it. Christ did the work. We don't have to earn it. We've got to make ourselves, our hearts, our lives available. And I say maybe the most important thing is this. We have new life. We've got a new life coach. His name is the Holy Spirit. Not life coach like you see in the world, but the new life coach. The helper. The life giver. Get to know the Holy Spirit. Get to know the Holy Spirit. Get to know the God who is here on earth, who is in us and with us to help us, to guide us, to strengthen us. But if you'll start with just knowing who you are, things will change. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Your word is the truth. I thank you for everyone, God, who is here this morning, God, those who were bored and those who weren't. God, let your word be effectual. God, let your word be planted in good soil in our hearts. We thank you for the wonderful plans you have for us. We thank you, God, that you are with us no matter what. And we thank you, God, over the coming days and weeks, God, that we'll see progressive change on the outside, what we do, how we think, how our lives move. God, I know that you see every need this morning. Every need, every hurt, every fear. And we thank you for your healing touch, your healing power over our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.